I want to welcome you all to one of the first official events of the 58th Annual Convention of the National Federation of the Blind of New York. Yeah. We started doing these things in a joint effort with the commission, about 4 years ago, maybe, something like that. And they've worked really well. The commission's required to go out and get comments from the public and report back to the feds what the public is thinking about its services. And they used to do this around the state in different cities. And they'd pick a city, and they'd go there, and they'd rent a library or something, and they'd open it, and they'd sit there for 2-3 hours, and nobody would come, and they'd all talk to each other, and they'd all go home and said nobody cares. And everything is fine because nobody showed up to complain about us. And everybody went on their merry way. Well, the fact is nobody came because people couldn't get there. People didn't know about it. The communication wasn't good or whatever. No blame attached on anybody's part. It just didn't happen. People weren't there. So a few years back, somebody got the bright idea. One of us, I'm going to say it was me, got the bright idea. And Brian got the bright idea that the largest gathering of blind people would be at an NFB of New York convention. Where else do more blind people gather than at an NFB of New York convention? And the second largest gathering of blind people would be at an ACB convention in New York. Now, having said that, if he wants comments from blind people, the best place to get them would be at those two places. So he's decided he was going to go to those two places and start picking up comments. And I understand it's worked rather well. I've been to these meetings each year, and you folks give it to him honest. You give it to him straight. And he's reacted to you folks, and I think it's testimony to the fact that you do react straight, that that this thing is working. There are a couple of ground rules here, because I'm going to relinquish this mic in about a minute or two to Brian, and then I might have a word to say during the course of all the discussion. I don't know how I could stop, but I'm already being heckled for my right here. So having said that, I'm going to relinquish this mic in a minute or two to Brian, whose show it theoretically is, and let him take the rest of the day. Couple of ground rules. This is part of a federation activity. Therefore, we are going to follow some federation rules. First rule is that whether you agree with somebody or disagree with somebody, you will be polite. We will be civil to each other. A few years back, somebody was called out some uncivil remark, and I needed to call that person down and apologize to Brian. I don't want to have to apologize to Brian for our bad behavior. You can disagree with him, you can agree with him, but we're going to be civil. That's one of my first promises to Brian. The other one is simple housekeeping and a way to manage things. If you want, Brian can see you in the back. Not all the rest of us can. Not all of the rest of us are sure who's talking. So if you want recognition, you will call out your name, and when Brian recognizes you having called your name, then that will be your signal to speak. So at some point, I might say Jacobson, and I'll wait, and I might say it again after 2-3 minutes. And when Brian finally says, yes, Jacobson or Carl or whatever, he recognizes me by name, it is my turn to ask him my question. And I'll say my piece to Brian, then he'll go on. So you call out your name to him, not his name, not Brian, Commissioner, your name. And then the rest of us also know who's speaking. Okay, two simple ground rules. Be polite and be clear. And just follow that other rule for recognition. So, having said those simple things that I hope you will all remember, for the next 2 hours, I give you Associate Commissioner Brian Daniels.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate the introduction. Good morning to everybody. Good to see you all here, and we are really starting to pick up a bit of a crowd here, which is great to see. And you know something, I'm going to start off here by trying to prove Carl's point here from my point of view. I'm going to start off with a disagreement, but I'm going to make it a very civil one and a polite one. Yes, right. So that's an oxymoron, right? A civil war, right? Yes, absolutely. But what this disagreement is Carl's place here at the town meeting and the NFB's place at the town meeting. You, as you said it, this is a function of the National Federation of the Blind. Therefore, you have that prominent front and center role along with us here, too. So, Carl, please feel free to share in with us. And also, along the same lines, my new friend to your right, Kevin Worley, who is in here from Colorado Springs, from the Olympic capital.
There you go.
Okay, and the other Olympic capital is found here in New York State, up in Lake Placid, absolutely. And on a day like today, you, people are thinking about Lake Placid maybe quite a bit. In fact, right now there's a clear view from this podium, though, of all things into a different country, a good view of Canada here from behind us. But thank you, Kevin, for being here and for your friendship to New York State, and look forward to today being an opportunity to establish something together. So looking forward to that. I also... You know, when I look out into the crowd, so to speak, here today, I see a lot of friends and a lot of people who are leaders, and not just leaders, but those who in their leadership have really helped to forward our agenda. Many of you have done so actively, and some maybe a little bit more quietly and a little bit more behind the scenes, but your imprint on what we do and what we do every day, and the success that we have, that imprint is yours as well, found with you. And so, you know, as I say, I look out here today and I see leaders past, present, future, and I would say anyone who I would say is a past leader is not just alone in the past, but continues to be a leader among us. And you know, we have an exec. I'm looking right now at you, Mr. Stayer, David Stayer, a current member and has been a member of our executive board since its inception, and many years ago, not too many, I'm not trying to age you here, a few years ago, David was also the chair of our State Rehabilitation Council, right? So you've sat on both of those significant advisory bodies to us. I'm looking right behind you, David, at Julie Phillipson, who is secretary of this great organization here in New York State, and who is also a, I would say, lifelong member, and I'm talking not about her life, but the life of our executive board, the lifelong member of our executive board. And at the same table are Mr. and Mrs. Mendez, Mary Lou and Luis. And Luis is I guess we will call you the immediate past chair of our executive board. And I said this the other day at our executive board meeting that often when spouses sort of succeed other spouses in things that they do in leadership roles, it's often because one spouse is no longer with us. Well, we get this wonderful benefit where the spouse is very much still with us and we know for a very long time, but the other spouse has succeeded him in essence. And so we're very, very glad to welcome you as the newest member of our executive board, Mary Lou Mendez, who is also now, were you in a role at that point on our SRC where you were co-chair? Is that correct? So you shared the chair with Becky Barnes, absolutely. So great to have you here. And Ray Wayne, your treasurer, who also served in a leadership chair type role on our State Rehabilitation Council and was so dedicated to it that even after his term was over, he for a long time stuck with us until finally, you know, we found a replacement, so to speak. And though I know we'll be able to meet and greet her later and she's doing great things out there, Chancey Fleet has joined our State Rehabilitation Council and just attended her first meeting in September, and hope to see her in a couple weeks at our next SRC meeting in November. And I also would like to welcome and identify Mr. Harold Wenning. Harold is a member of our State Committee of Blind Vendors, and has been so for a long time. And for many years, Harold represented the State Committee also on our State Rehabilitation Council. And the only time in history that I'm aware of that the appointments office made a mistake, they did not have any record that Harold had served his first term. So Harold legitimately got three terms and exceeded it by one on our State Rehab Council. So I think that the mark that Harold made at that point on our State Rehab Council continues to be indelible, and also with certainly with his activities on the State Committee of Blind Vendors for many years as a representative downstate has really impacted us very positively. And, you know, I see some faces that are familiar. Good to see you, Mr. Minkler. Glad that you're here. Cheryl, it's wonderful that you're here, too. You are the epitome of a successful self-employed person and a model to many. And so I really appreciate that. Nuria. Yeah, wonderful. Nuria, good to see you here. Everybody, it's just good to see you and to be here. And those whose faces are not familiar or names are not familiar to me, I'm looking forward to getting to know you in the coming couple of days. So once again, welcome to the New York State Commission for the Blind town meeting. And as the State Commission for the Blind, you know, we like to, along with you, to take the lead. And we have our staff here today, management and support staff, who, speaking personally, without three ladies who are here today on commission staff, I myself would be functioning at an even lower level than I am right now with the commission. I really owe a great debt, first of all, to our statewide coordinator, Barbara Kellerman, to our Buffalo, and then I say Buffalo, that also includes Rochester, our Buffalo district manager, the leader of our second most productive office in the state, and under her leadership this past year, second most productive, close to being the first, prior year the most productive office, consistently outstanding performance out here in the western region of New York State under her leadership, Jane Sullivan. And last but not least, my very, very valued assistant, Colleen Sidoti, is here today to help not just with NYSCB activities, but also to support the Federation for the next 24 hours or so as well, to help assist to make this convention as best as possible. And it certainly promises to be an outstanding convention. I was telling your esteemed president, who is really not just, boy, he's everywhere, executive board, on the phone with me constantly, and always challenging me way in such a positive way to move this program forward. And had an opportunity to talk a little bit about the agenda earlier, and telling him that this one looks like a particularly exciting one. As Carl had said, it's a lighthearted one, somewhat, and that's fun. But you know what? There's a lot of other good stuff here that there is no doubt we're going to take something with us. I know I will, that will make me at least better in what I do when I go home. And I always look forward to this town meeting in particular, the convention certainly, but this town meeting in particular to give us the guidance that we need. And as Carl said, you know, these are a very important vehicle for us and a required vehicle for us to gain important feedback for program improvement. And our State Rehabilitation Council will actually be the body that works particularly closely with us on the yield from this town meeting and the town meeting that we're having in Long Island next week in concert with the American Council of the Blind. but Chancey Fleet will be a very, very vital representative to us on our State Rehabilitation Council in helping to determine what priorities we should pursue on information that we gather at these town meetings and other places along the way during the year. Also, to help me this morning in my responsibilities here at the town meeting, Colleen will also help to identify those who want to speak. And, you know, one of the reasons, you know, this town meeting is so good because it gives us the opportunity to come together. I'm going to say in a somewhat informal way because we don't know what the agenda is. The agenda is what you make of it, what you want to bring to it, what occurs here. So this is an opportunity really for us to have a very, very open dialogue on the state of affairs, anything that you want to talk about that we do, that we do together, or anything that you want to inform us of. This is the opportunity to do so. And let me say before we really open this up, once again, not only am I thrilled to be here, but I wrote this morning to my supervisor, and I told her, and I wrote to my wife as well this morning to wish her a good morning, and I told them individually both that this is the best opportunity I have in the entire year to speak with our strongest advocates in the state, to get to know you better, for you to get to know us. And I really think that of any activity that I do in any part of the year, for me, this is the richest. So thank you all for being here at this town meeting, and let's get started. Oh, okay. Thank you. One quick second. Thank you, Mike. Mike just reminded me of something I, from my experience, I should have known. We are streaming live on the internet. The address, if you have a question, input, comment, anything that you would like to communicate with us, is convention@nfbny.org, and there started to be a number here, though.
Yeah, give it to you a second.
Okay, and we also have a number attached to this as well, I guess, for call-in. Okay, you know, when you're ready, okay. Okay, all right, Cheryl.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
My question is, and I'm also with the Chamber of Commerce out in Brentwood where I live, and we recently had a meet the candidates, and we do know who our new local and state officials are going to be, but one question I posed to them, and I'm going to ask you this, out in Suffolk County, and you and I started discussing some of this early this morning when we saw each other.
Yep.
There, Helen Keller is non-existent out in Huntington anymore, Catholic Charities, Lighthouse, Jewish Guild. The only services we have is in Hempstead to get to the commission. And as you know, like anywhere, the public transportation is ridiculous. Any funds, anything in the works to bring, like, the Guild back or anything out to Suffolk County, because my favorite thing saying about Suffolk County is we feel like the stepchild of New York, that we really need more services, especially since we're expanding our reach out into Suffolk with the NFB, and we really need to know what to tell our members.
Yeah. Oh, I appreciate that question, Cheryl. I do want to, before we address that, I appreciate, Mike, we've got a phone number here now for call-in as well, and that number is 716-249-1111. 1632. And I can repeat that throughout if you would like me to, Mike. I can repeat that information a few times through the town meeting. Now, thanks for your patience in the answer, Cheryl. And, you know, I say answer, but hopefully we have an opportunity to dialogue, you and me and any others who would like to on this issue. Now, we have long, you know, had some resource issues, so to speak, there on Long Island, and particularly in Suffolk. And to tell you the truth, I didn't even realize until a few years ago how rural parts of the county are as well, and that's very challenging. We might often think of Long Island as a quite an urban place in spots, which it is, but it's also, when you get out to Suffolk County, can be very, very sparse in population in places, and also in service. And in the past, quite honestly, and I think you may be suggesting that we did have better resources in the past, as you mentioned, with Helen Keller in Huntington. We even had opportunities with different leadership in SILO, which is the Independent Living Center out there, too. But the truth of the matter is, yes, we do continue to grapple with services out in Suffolk County. And yes, maybe about 6 or 7 years ago, Catholic Charities ceased delivering services out there as well. Now, in order to begin to address the situation, you're doing in Suffolk County what we did this summer in Binghamton, where we had similar types of resource issues, which is to station a counselor in the community. In Binghamton, this past summer, we welcomed Rebecca Roth Morales to the region. And just a couple days ago, Barbara and others honored her and other counselors for their outstanding efforts this year. And she has begun to marshal resources in an area where we would even argue that the resources have been even scarcer in that part of New York State than Suffolk County. And we're managing now to begin to show some results there, certainly with a full-time counseling presence in the southern tier. Our consumers are definitely getting an opportunity to work more closely with our staff, as well as heightened referrals to the community. So we can and have to look at doing the same thing down in Suffolk County. So we're hoping within probably 2 months, our counselor, Frank Grasso, will be stationed in Suffolk County in the Hobhock State Office Building. We also will have our mobility instructor, Michael Honan, who will also be located in Suffolk County. That's a start to begin to rebuild and to build services there. We have to continue to push our providers, to push Helen Keller to get out there. And I'm not aware completely, Cheryl, that they're completely out of Suffolk County. I will go back and I'll look at that more carefully. But as you have done in the past, and you and David and others from the Long Island chapter have pushed us, we've got to look for ways, too, to work together to help address the situation. And any ideas you may have now, or in the future to help push us in that direction, I appreciate, and certainly from our staff as well.
Just a follow-up to that, the Helen Keller that was at in Huntington was closed because the Lions actually opened a senior center in one of the local churches. That's why I know that that Helen Keller satellite office is no longer there. So that was closed about six, maybe mm-hmm. a little longer. Like I said, the Lions opened something in a not too far from that location on 110 or New York Avenue or whatever it's called over there in Huntington. Mm-hmm. That's how I know that was closed. I used to get services from Catholic Charities, so that's why I keep bringing it up, and we're finding more and more people that are not getting any services at all. Mm-hmm. So David and I and you and the Hempstead office will be, you know, dialoguing with each other.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one thing that I can offer too, Cheryl, is we can have, and certainly one thing I would encourage, if people next week can get to Ronkonkoma, which is right, I guess, on the border of the two counties.
It's about 10 minutes from me.
Yeah. So if we can also encourage individuals who have concerns about Suffolk County to come to that town meeting, absolutely, to give that feedback and for us to dialogue on that. And also, Cheryl, I would be more than happy to commit the Commission for the Blind to even have a town meeting during the course of this year dedicated in Suffolk County to Suffolk County services. If we can marshal enough of the forces out there to come to give us that feedback, we will be there.
And David and I can, and our chapter would be more than helpful to get that information and those people to you.
Yep, absolutely. And even offline, so to speak, you know, privately, I'm more than happy to speak to anyone and understand what this lack of service in there and service providers means to them.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Luis.
David Stayer.
Okay. And then after that, we've got Luis.
Okay. First of all, it's a privilege to be on the executive board and have been involved with the commission for years. And obviously, the changes that have occurred are miraculous. And years ago, one might have said that NFP and the commission were adversarial. I'd say now we're colleagues working for the same goal. My question is, I still hear from people that when they are referred to the commission, they receive no information about the organizations of the blind. And my concern is that we can be a resource to help benefit the individuals and also benefit the commission. So my question is, when packages of information are given out by the commission, are the organizations of the blind mentioned, and if not, why not?
Yep. I can tell you, excuse me, it has been our policy and remains our policy that we will distribute this information on your behalf. Now, if you feel that there are any areas or you know that there are any areas of the state where that information is not being disseminated, we need to know. Now, in the past, David, sometimes at least I've identified, and I'm not sure if it's been every time or not, but I've identified that the reason that we are not handing things out in intake packages, so to speak, is because we don't have the materials. Now, in some cases, I think it's been our mistake. I think in the past, too, sometimes it, you know, with everybody being so busy, it's hard for us to be able to interact and get the information that we need, even from you, that what we will do now is we will assess, and I'm looking at Colleen right now, too. She will work with me to help me assess where we might have this. I'll do this for the ACB as well, to check to see if we have consumer information, where in the state we might and might not, what type of supply we have of this information in our home office in Rensselaer, and that we will look either to get the information out to our districts that we might have in our possession out to the districts to distribute to districts that are not distributing it, and or we will come back and ask you for information if we don't have it. James. And we will supply it to all of our the new individuals who cross our threshold for service. Absolutely, David. That is our commitment.
Jacobson.
Yes.
Just as a point of information, I get calls every couple of months, let's say every 2 months or maybe at the worst 10 weeks, from Joe Nye saying, we've run out of your material, please send more. So I know that they are distributing our stuff, and we send him what we choose to send him, and he distributes whatever we send him because every 2 to 3 months he's asking for more of it. So I don't know where he sends it, but he must be giving it to somebody. So, yeah, that's just a quick answer to your question. Joe and I is sending out our stuff or giving it or distributing it to district offices, or it's being used somehow.
But if you do identify, and that's possible,
yeah,
that,
I mean,
that maybe
Joe.
It missed a district or something, we got to know about it. We'll just take care of it, so no problem. Okay. I think Luis is... No?
Oh.
I think Nuria? Yes.
I have a question regarding employment services for the visually impaired and blind through Commission for the Blind.
Mm-hmm.
One is that, when they refer the case to a coordinator, job seeker, to assist individuals to seek for job, they become very interesting in the beginning, and after second interview or mock interview, they loosen their connection with the client. And I was wondering, there is any system that Commission for the Blind maybe follow that maybe they give the money to them later on or whatever, the contract or what, so they can stay focused in their work. I'm saying from my own experience, I was part of Vision to find job employment services. It didn't work out, so I went to Industries for the Blind. And now that same counts, the same situation I'm facing, and there is no any job, not only in the job available, but there is no much guidance from my coordinator to help me to get the job, you know, that I need to look for. Mm-hmm. And the other question is, as we know, you know, for the with the goodwill industry, and you know the sub-minimum wages.
Mm-hmm.
Now the goodwill industry and the Lighthouse International are combining, and they have a floor in the 10th floor, are offering, you know, job employment services, and I don't know how Commission for the Blind will act on that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Nuria. I appreciate the comments on both. If you don't mind, I'm going to address the second one first. Now, I was not aware of any type of relationship. I appreciate you bringing this to my attention. I was not aware of a relationship between Goodwill Industries and the Lighthouse. I want to make sure that this isn't a reference to the merger between Lighthouse and the Jewish Guild for the Blind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Nuria.
Yes,
Is that a reference?
Yes.
Between the Jewish Guild for the Blind and the Lighthouse, or did Good?
No. Between
it is Goodwill Industry.
Goodwill Industry and the Lighthouse International.
Okay.
Yes.
No, I was not aware of that. You know, I will say, and you're expressing this for concern about the subminimum wage.
Yes.
Certainly, and I will have an opportunity to give more information tomorrow when I have an opportunity to address the full council. Our intent in areas like placement in particular is not to do business with any agency or organization that is paying their workers, any worker, on their premises subminimum wage. So if this is the type of issue, you know, and the subminimum wage issue is somehow tied into this, and there's any type of partnership between two agencies whereby one of them is paying subminimum wage and it involves placement, we will absolutely positively take a look at it. And again, I think that as this weekend unfolds, we're going to have multiple opportunities to address this type of issue. So I'm also hoping, Nuria, that you and I might have an opportunity to talk more directly on this issue as well. Now, in terms of the first issue that you brought up, first of all, I'm sorry to hear that you or anybody might be finding challenges in a way that you are. And certainly it's something that we want to address. Now, I want to clarify so that we're able to address this point and also as generally as we can in terms of our employment services and how they are. you're suggesting that the service providers and the placement people that you might be working with are not producing the type of results that you would like to see.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. You know, that also certainly is something that we're always looking at, of course, always want the feedback on, and always looking to obviously improve that. Now, we on January 1st are commencing a new set of placement contracts. You know, in many ways it'll be the same as the placement contracts that we've had before, but we also have, in some cases, heightened expectations of our service providers as well when it comes to placement. So, you know, hopefully we can look at what we've done in the past, learn from that going forward. And, you know, this also is something that would probably be a worthwhile thing to dedicate an opportunity or a town meeting, you know, to talk about this this type of issue in placement, which is the bread and butter in many ways of what we do. But also, I would be interested too, Nuria, when we have an opportunity to talk later about the subminimum wage, for us to understand the situation,
sure.
Your situation better. And what I will do is after this, our regional coordinator as well can have an opportunity. She'll make herself available, Barbara Kellerman, to touch base with you on this as well.
Okay.
But let's talk about this more specific to you. And I would also like to certainly open this up to anybody into town meeting at any time now here to talk about the placement services in general. And I think Mr. Cush, who is... wanted to speak as well and maybe to address the situation from your point of view. Is that right, Mike?
Oh, no, I just wanted to clear up what Nuria had said about...
Okay. About the relationship between Goodwill and the Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, as many people know, rents space out to other organizations in their East 59th Street building. One of those is the 10th floor... which they rent to Good Temps, which is a division of Goodwill Industries that provides services for temporary positions for people with all disabilities. So, I mean, it is confusing because people say, oh, it's in the Lighthouse building. They automatically assume that there's some type of affiliation, but there's no relationship in between the two agencies. It's just a matter of... Goodwill actually renting space from the Lighthouse building to provide those services under Good Temps for job seekers.
Yes, yeah, Nuria, yes.
The reason is because the person from Goodwill Industries at the Lighthouse, the 10th floor, they reached me, they told me if you want to come for interview, we want to do an assessment interview with you to see if we can get the job for you. So I said, thank you very much. I mean, I politely refused that because I know what will be the situation.
Mm-hmm.
But and this is something they directly contact me through the Lighthouse and the Commission for the, I mean, Goodwill Industry, and they asked me to come to be part of their employment services program.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So that's why I feel like they are having some kind of shared relationship with the employment services providing.
Yeah. Well, you know, of course, as you well know, Nuria, and everybody, I mean, we can't emphasize this enough. There's something out there called consumer choice. And so this is just a reminder to everybody that if you are not satisfied either with a referral, once that referral is made, or even contemplating that referral. So if we were to say somebody, we want to send you to agency X, and you say, I don't want to go there because whatever it is, you won't go there. we will not make that referral for you. So, you know, we might talk to you about it. We might share our point of view with you, and based on that point of view, ask you if you would reconsider that. But if not, we would work to make sure, to the best of our ability, that those services that you need would be provided. Now, of course, if we're talking about downstate, we're very, very confident with that. We have an abundance of resources that we would be able to plug into. Mm-hmm. In some of the more rural areas, and I think the point that Cheryl brought up earlier, mm-hmm. Even though that is downstate that we're talking about, you know, that's certainly, you know, that's, you know, we got to be able to work to marshal those resources so that we can offer the most choice possible. But I appreciate what you're bringing up to us, Nuria, and I appreciate this opportunity that you've given me to remind everybody, you're not happy with a referral, talk to us. The referral doesn't have to be made.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nuria.
Deborah Combe. And I just also wanted to say I had the same problem that Maria had, and with my counselor and not referring me to certain cases and where I'm supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I also have the same problem.
Yep. Well, I appreciate hearing that too. And if you do run into challenges with your counselor and you feel that you have done everything that you can to get your point across, so to speak, you know, we're a very open agency. And my expectation for everybody at the Commission for the Blind is responsiveness. And that includes something that I think people who work at the Commission for the Blind know of, something that I have called an open door policy. So that includes if you feel that you've exhausted, so to speak, options to get your point across, for lack of a better way, the services that you want or need, the chain of command, including myself, is available to you and anybody that we serve, so that we can correct the situation and that we can be the responsive Commission for the Blind that we all want to be, and certainly that I myself expect us to be. So, and you know, one of the things that I have here made sure to bring is my business cards, which has my number on it. It's in large print in Braille. And anybody should feel free to take a card and feel free to call me with any concerns that they have. Also, during the course of this weekend, and I'm sorry, I did not get your name.
Deborah Combe.
Deborah, if you're here for the weekend or any time past here, I am available also to speak to you if you have general concerns about anything or specific concerns for yourself.
Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah. And I think Harold. Yep, Mike's coming your way.
Okay. Hello?
Yep, we can hear you, Harold.
Okay, very good. I want to address the meeting you had yesterday with the State Committee of Blind Vendors. I was speaking to the chairman, Gary Grassman, last night. And he mentioned the fact that there is waivers out for employing some specialists and so forth, but you have to have it by February, or else you're going to put the training program out into private contractors. Well, we have done that before. We had one out in Huntington. Another place, I think we had Aromatic training us. And most of those managers who went through that program are no longer in the program. Where, as we have it now, we had it before, we had in-house training. I know Carl Jacobson was involved deeply in that program. In fact, I trained under Carl. And I'm still in the program. I'm in it 20 years. I've been licensed since 1989. I'm still in the program. And a lot of other people who were in the in-house training are either retired from the program or still in the program. So I'm asking you, Brian, to fill these positions before February. So yes, we can keep this in-house, because we have it now in-house, because we find that the program is a lot better.
Yep.
The managers are better trained, and this is important for the program, because the program is expanding, and we need managers. It's a good program. It's a very good program for the blind. Whether you stay in it, choose to stay in it or not, I mean, that's your up to you. But I always say it's a good start for blind people who want to get into business and expand their knowledge about business and build an economic base for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This is very important, because we have to pull ourselves out of, individuals have to pull themselves out of a hole before they can help someone else. Now, if they have the economic power to do it, that's even better.
Yep. I appreciate that, Harold. And let me, address that. And again, thank you for your outstanding service for all these years on the state committee. And I was in on that discussion yesterday, but because of a conflict, so to speak, on the other side of the hotel, when we were also having our counselor meeting, I left at about 11, and admittedly, I began the conversation and then left kind of in the middle of it, but then was unfortunate enough, then I left to come to Niagara Falls, and on the way up here, got a briefing on exactly what happened. And from that briefing, Harold, I'm understanding what you said essentially to be what the outcome of that discussion was. However, let me say this for the record. Our private agency partners are outstanding in many, many ways. There's no question. Without our agency partners doing things including training, delivering those types of services, our service delivery system would not be what it is. But sometimes we struggle with our service providers here and there. And in the past, I agree with you, Harold. When we use service providers to train for our BEP, we did not get the best outcomes. You also identified, I think very correctly, that we've been struggling with trying to get ourselves fully staffed in order to be able to deliver that training. That being said, Harold, if, and I want to make this clear, and I wasn't around to be able to say this to the state committee, but let me say this to you as a state committee member, that my commitment is that if we come to February and we are not fully staffed, and this is our fault, so to speak, let me take that back, the slowness of the bureaucracy, which we can't control entirely, then for that reason, I myself would never, never, ever let us go back to the way it was. So what our commitment is to get up and running by February. If we're not, to go back again to have this discussion. But let me tell you here, whether anybody said this or not, my intention is not to go to another source if it's our fault, so to speak, our bureaucracy's fault, that we don't have full staffing in February. I absolutely don't disagree with what you said at all, Harold, except that I really don't think that it's quite a dire situation as one might think. Despite that, I must acknowledge that the weakest area in the state that we have for our business enterprise program training, due to some of the geographic and staffing issues, has been here in the Western region. That we need to address. I think we're close to addressing that. But I will also say to you, Harold, that it came to me firmly yesterday that Debbie Yauch, who is a district supervisor here herself, made the commitment to have training in the Western region up and running by February. So I'm thinking that we're not really going to get to that dire situation. But I really do want to state for the record, because I have for the in the past, Harold, that when it comes to the BEP training, it is not necessarily farming it out, so to speak, or to the contracting out to the private sector has not been a successful pursuit for us. So that's an area that I would like to resist going back to, despite what I've said or what you've heard.
Worley, with a comment about training. Is that, okay. I don't know what's happening with our mic deal here, but hopefully y'all can... Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you, Kevin.
All right, great. Thanks very much. I'm Kevin Worley, and let me comment a little bit about training, if you don't mind, Harold and team. So across the country, we are seeing a lack of good, high-quality training for blind vendors. So therefore, we've worked with the Hadley School. As you know, universities, education programs, community colleges, all kinds, are going to online training. Now, before, Harold, you and our colleagues go, ooh, no, we want hands-on training. Ooh, no, we want good quality training. The Hadley School has partnered with the National Association of Blind Merchants, National Council of State Agencies for the Blind, and other organizations to put together what we think, starting in January, will absolutely be the very best online training regimen or curriculum we've ever had. Now, this does not take away from hands-on training. If you need in New York to teach about the New York state rules and regs, if you need to get hands-on and teach some blind person how to flip a burger, how to load a vending machine, that's not going to go away. But we are encouraging states, starting in January, to purchase their online training, their curriculum. Everybody knows you need to teach customer service and bookkeeping and accounting, and you need to teach the various products and services and menu development and all the things that you would get. We can now purchase online. Look, what this means is a blind vendor in Western New York can stay home for the first however many modules of the training, and they won't have to relocate for 6 weeks or 6 months or 16 years to get the kind of training that they need. This also means it's a nationally recognized curriculum. So if I'm living in Buffalo and I got the training and I work in a location for 3 years and my wife, my spouse, gets transferred to Colorado, I've already had some good training, and all I have to do is comply with the local state Colorado rules and regs and make sure that I can flip a burger and balance a book and that I treat customers okay and I don't show up in a Budweiser t-shirt because that would be inappropriate. So you get the good online training coupled with state agency center training. So I would urge, long comment, sorry, Brian, but I would urge the agency to take a look at this new regimen, new curriculum from Hadley School. Thanks.
Brian?
I appreciate that, Kevin, and, you know, for many reasons, including that I neglected to say something about that, and I should have, so, and now I will, absolutely. We have definitely discussed that, including yesterday, and I was the one who brought it up at our state committee meeting. Now, you may be aware that whereas sometimes we are not as involved, there's a lot of feedback here. Yeah, I think you might be the one I'm using. Yeah. You might be right. No, that's not. See, I found an alternative. Of course, no. Where are you from, Colorado? Yes, someone from out of state, right? Leave it to him. No, we are. But seriously, leave it to someone from out of state also to make, I think, a very relevant national comment here. You can still hear me, yep. I started to say we were talking about this today, and our program manager, Alan Gathoff, has worked with the national, on a national group to work on this and to discuss it, which also demonstrates certainly New York State's commitment to this. I got to tell you, Kevin, Harold, everybody in this room, we recognize the value of the Hadley program. We recognize your leadership, Kevin, in making all of this happen. And I also heard along the way that this also has strong support from the RSA, which also has very much has meaning. I think it really has the right type of synergy, so to speak, and support. And a lot of work went behind it that I will tell you right now, and you know, this is being recorded and everything, and you can go back and prove my words here, that I think that we're going to be heading in that direction. We're very interested in it for the reasons that I stated. And just as you said, Kevin, there's no question that we recognize that we have to supplement that type of education and training, so to speak, with hands-on opportunities. So, you know, flipping burgers, selling, you know, whatever that may be. Absolutely, Kevin. So we recognize that. We're excited about the Hadley program. And, you know, I think, you know, the National Randolph Shepherd Program also recognizes that sometimes New York is not the first place to jump on board with national things, but I got to tell you, we will be here. I really expect that we will be here, Kevin. That I don't know everything about it, but nothing that I know or don't know about it is anything that would be a deterrent from us, I think, signing on to this, so to speak. So, and hopefully we'll have an opportunity in the next couple of days to be, you know, even more enlightenment about this, and also certainly some ideas of maybe how to supplement this opportunity with to make it also uniquely New York. Yeah. Okay. So, absolutely, that's our commitment. Absolutely. Thank you,
Brian. Brian. Harold Winning is speaking. You're talking about funding, finding money through through the state legislature. I assume that you would accept the support of this organization to get that funding for this program, wouldn't you? I never spoke to Carl about this, but I'm pretty sure he would support this also.
Are you referring to the online training?
No, you said about the funding for the staff completing the staff in New York State.
Oh yes, Harold, it's not a funding issue. It's I'll just be real plain here. It's a bureaucratic issue. It takes a little bit of time, and it's definitely taking longer time than we would wish it was taking. But honestly, we see no real barriers to this. If anything, we've been a little bit creative in order to be able to establish. You know what? I'll just tell you right off what happened. We didn't get a good group of candidates for a particular position, and our staff made the courageous, bold decision that they would rather hire nobody than hire anybody from those who came in. Why? They had no business service specialist or food service management specialist experience, not that we were looking for. Why? Because the civil service test did not test for the right things. So what we were able to do is, with the food service management title that we were interviewing for and found no candidates that were acceptable to us, I will give, you know, Alan Gatoff came up with a brilliant idea of taking a similar title, which you know we have, which is the business service specialist one, and interviewing off that list. We know there we will get the candidates that we need with the right experience. So that's a reason why it's taking longer than it should. And that's why we knowing the timing of this and knowing where my sign-offs are right now on this particular position, that I'm very, very confident that we can have it filled not by February alone, but by December 31st. And that really is the last position that we're talking about here. Yep. So I really, really have a lot of optimism. And if it really does come to February and we have to make the tough decisions, I'm not sure I'm going to necessarily make the decision that a lot of people fear that that might be made. Seriously.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Harold, I'm sorry. You know, I'd like to say one other thing. You know, in saying that decision that I make, there is something called active participation and for the State Committee of Blind Vendors, and I'm very, very confident that overall we respect and we honor that. So, you know, you having an opportunity to say what you said today and speak, this is not the last time. And, you know, I think, and I'm expecting, wholesale pushback on my position from the state committee. And I dare say that if I get that wholesale pushback from the state committee, I'll tell you right now, I wouldn't make that move. I would not make that move.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Cheryl. Colleen's coming with the mic right now. And yes, right, thank you. David, I just heard what you said, and I think I heard what you said. This is a reminder. We are being streamed live. You can write in your questions to convention@nfbny.org, or you can call in comments or questions to 716-249-1632, 716-249-1632. Thanks for your patience, Cheryl. Cheryl?
Yeah, I have two questions. And first question is, somebody like myself who has my case that has been closed with the commission for a number of years, let's say I was talking to Colleen. Is that your?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. I was talking to Colleen outside at the table since we have all these vendors here. Mm-hmm. And even now my case is closed with the commission. Should I need a piece of equipment I can't afford or other services to help my business, would I be able to contact the commission and get assistance with that?
You could definitely contact the commission, and depending on the specifics of the need and our policy and everything, we may very well be able to deliver that service. We do have something called post-employment services that might be appropriate for that. And also just a regular case opening, so to speak, too, could be an appropriate thing. Anything else, Barbara, I'm missing here?
Certainly, it could be treated even as a job save if it was something you needed in order for your business to continue or to expand and become better or whatever. But every case is different, and it just depends on what services are needed, whether it becomes an actual case opening or whether it's something like that would fall under post-employment services. And it doesn't matter how long your case has been closed. You should definitely call your office and talk to them. And I can, if you want to talk to me after we get done here, I can also discuss more specifics with you.
That's great. Jada, and I have a second question, and I apologize. This has been brought up by one of our members. In fact, a brand new member that just signed up with the NFB of Long Island. She has a case open with the commission. She's an attorney. She's quite up on the total pole in education, and I guess this would be a Scott LaBarre kind of question to ask of what title that is. But she asked for assistance trying to find a job as an attorney in New York State, and they offered her a secretarial position. And it's like, what do you say to that? I mean, that's she's got all this education, and she's looking to be an attorney. And she's being offered a secretary position. So what do we tell our members about things like that?
Wow. Well, one thing is, it's a reminder to all of us, and I got to tell you, all of us here, and there's the best advocates in the state, some of the best advocates of the state of New York are right here. And so that response to that is, we have that's a reminder that we have a long way to go. But that doesn't mean we can't address these situations right now. First of all, to establish the building blocks to make sure that within the next generation something like this doesn't happen. And secondly, to be able to address this directly as possible with the consumer. And also, you know what? Among other things, Cheryl, I bet you'd agree with this. There might be a lot of things in play here, but one of them is ignorance of society. And one thing we all have a responsibility to do
is to be out there to demonstrate, to model, to communicate, to talk, so that some of the garbage that we see out there does not occur anymore. And, you know, I'm being polite here. This I would call that that type of reaction garbage and worse. And, you know, I'm very, very sorry for that individual. Has she been working with her counselor on this?
She's still active with her counselor. But we just want to know when I call her later today, or she can't listen online because her computer's broken. And she couldn't get one. She definitely wanted to listen here today because I was going to ask this question. But when I call her back later on today, what should I tell her to tell her counselor? What area should we go with this?
Well, one thing is, you know, I think that she should tell her counselor exactly what happened and get the counseling and the guidance that she certainly needs from the counselor. As another reminder, Cheryl, you know, others are available as well. So I would be more than happy to speak to her, even from this convention, if you would like, to understand and to hear what her concerns are, and hopefully to be able to address them. But, you know, as I said before, and as you recognize, that this is a reminder and an opportunity for us to work together to create the type of system, society, and everything else that begins seriously to chip away and to make sure, to the best of our ability, that within the next generation, that this is something that those who will be with us, you know, in a few years from now, that we won't be, you know, talking about this type of issue at least as much as we might be right now. And so, yeah, together we also need to address it and do what we need. So,
thank you very much.
Thank you,
Jacobson.
Cheryl.
Jacobson.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brian, I'm not sure if you have data on this, and I'm not sure how to go about getting it because sometimes it has to do with client satisfaction. But we talk about calling the commission, getting your case open, et cetera, et cetera. How long? Because I often hear, I've called the commission, and it's been 3 weeks since anybody's called me back. Then they called me back, and they said they'd be back to me in 2 more weeks. In 2 more weeks, it's come and gone, and I haven't heard from them. Now, I realize the client has an obligation here to call back and to hound your staff people. But what do we do when things are just taking weeks and weeks and months to go by? And we seem to be getting no response from you. I'm not going to say that the fault is yours, or the fault is the client's, because I just don't have the information. I've learned a long time ago not to render an opinion when you don't have all the information. But this is what you hear now and what we hear now and again, that, oh, I've called them, and it's been months since I've called them, and that counselor doesn't call me back. Yeah. Is there a policy that says you will call them in 24 hours, and you will have them in there and open their case in 36 hours, and you'll have them fully rehabilitated within 3 days?
Yeah.
You know, is there something along that line?
No.
4 days.
Yeah, I appreciate that question, Carl. For a long time we've had an expectation that our counselors return phone calls within a reasonable amount of time, which really is 24 hours. Of course, if that counselor is not on leave, available, that type of thing, and in work status. But we also, you know, it's very important for us to make sure that if the counselor is on leave or something and not available there, supervisor or another counselor on duty who would be able to respond to that and to answer and whatever questions or concerns there might be. But of course, the ideal is that they have an opportunity to talk directly to their counselors. Now, let me be real honest here. The issue with a lack of return communications, I think, is not the modus operandi of the vast, 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 vast majority of our counselors. If I have to, you know, be honest, from time to time, yes, we look at cases, and I look at them very carefully, too. And something happened recently, quite honestly, where I made that determination that the consumer was not served well. The consumer was not served well by virtue of a lack of communication from our staff. So yes, while it's not a wholesale issue, I have identified gaps and problems and areas within the commission. I will be real honest with you here, too. Within the last week, I had a conversation with my own supervisor about this, Carl. My own supervisor about it. And I absolutely, positively recognize the need to redouble our efforts to make sure that all of our staff understands this, including myself. I'm not above it or beyond it either. And yes, so sometimes that happens, and sometimes your description of what happens is accurate. I do believe and think that that is, you know, is not the way that we operate every day, but we do need to continue to work to improve that type of thing. And yeah, I definitely will appreciate your comment and acknowledge it. Got the mic right there.
Female,
yes. Yeah, we picked up on that one, actually.
One of
yes.
The older female Mendez. Let's be specific here. Brian, as you know, one of the issues that has been discussed on the executive board at the meeting that was held, wow, was it only last week? Was services to older blind residents of New York State on what is available now and what might be possible in the future. And I was wondering whether you have anything that you might be able to share with us in terms of any new initiatives in the way of providing services to that population. Yep,
absolutely. Thank you, Mary Lou. To be real honest with you, don't. And one of the reasons being, even though our older blind grant, as it's called, is not necessarily directly tied into some of the WIOA issues and the new legislation that's coming down, we... You know, we don't know if there's going to be any wholesale changes necessarily in this on a federal level. And you also may know, we have supplemental monies that the state provides for us, not a lot of strings attached to it either, that we use to supplement that older blind grant. Now, many years ago, with me, the board was grappling on this issue of there's not a lot of money to serve in the older blind grant. Quite honestly, for less than $1,000, we're expecting a lot of core services from our agencies, which they deliver. Now, quite honestly, as society continues to evolve, I would suggest that we do recognize that in the ideal world, there is greater need for adaptive and high-tech equipment for that population, too. Even a few years ago, the executive board, a subcommittee, and I looked at that and tried to address it. I think the dilemma that we face, and I challenge the executive board again to help us with this, and everybody, not just the executive board, but how do you deal with the reality that that pot of money is not growing? The needs are growing in number and just a need in general. And what do you do with your policy when the needs grow greater, but to address those needs, you're going to have to serve fewer people because more of the money is going to be concentrated on those greater needs. So that is, in my opinion, an issue that we need to work on from a policy perspective. You know, certainly the executive board, and I say this in a neutral way, you do have the ability to speak to whom you need to speak to, that we have less of an ability, quite honestly, to speak to in order to possibly to get what's needed in terms of more resources into the system. One of the reasons we can't figure this out maybe is because there might not be any clear-cut solution. Right. What do you do with a stagnant amount of money and growing needs? So
my follow-up, just a quick follow-up to that. So what I'm hearing, Brian, and
I kind of put you on the spot on purpose because I wanted to hear this publicly, but the commission is willing to work with the executive board to develop connections and contacts and liaisons with other agencies to try to address this issue. Correct.
Yes. Oh yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Yep. To the extent that we can, yes, and not, yes, get our hands slapped.
Right.
Yes. Absolutely. Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Right. Right. Thank Mary Lou. You. Any other comments from our staff?
We're always doing the best we can to, and we have a new comprehensive services contract guidelines that are coming out soon, and we're always trying to address those issues as with our private not-for-profits and our contract agencies to try and get the best possible services for the older blind and the best, yes, you know, bang for our buck, if I do use that term. Mm-hmm. So,
thank you.
Thanks, Barbara. Thanks, Mary Lou. Yep, Cheryl. Yep. I think it's coming anyway.
No, thank you. Just a clarification, and I don't mean technology-wise. Is this services in general from homemaker to mobility, or is this the whole for seniors in general? What exactly are you talking about in reference to services,
yeah,
for our senior population that it keeps growing?
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate that. And, you know, I think just from past history and the discussions that we had in the executive board, maybe I mistakenly sort of thought about our ALP3 program, which is not our homemaker program, which the level of service is less than that of homemaker. Homemaker continues, I think, to be not just a viable goal for our consumers, but, you know, in terms of the money that and the funding that we have, we can use some of that supplemental federal money to serve those with homemaker type services who are 55 and older, and our VR dollars to serve those who are 55 and younger. We do have, especially in some parts of our ALP program, at least theoretically, an opportunity to buy more equipment, because the needs are greater, quite honestly, too. And we do have more of an opportunity to buy certain equipment in that program, especially for those who are younger than 55. We have no resource issues. So I appreciate you bringing that question up.
Yeah, because we, again, one of our newer members, she's gone blind within the last 2 years, and she's afraid to leave her house. So we're trying to get her services, try to get her onto disability, all that. But, you know, once we do that and we reach out to the commission, we want to let her know these are the services you should be applying for, and these are the services that you may not get,
right,
that kind of question.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Barbara?
I'm with you, Cheryl. I generally don't need a mic, but I'll use it just to make sure everybody can hear me. There are certain services that are available to anyone and everyone. Social casework, orientation and mobility, low vision, vision rehab teaching, those are available. They're available through our ELP program as well as through the VR Homemaker program. So those things, those are available to everybody. As Brian suggested, the VR Homemaker program, we have the limits on our dollars. That's through that's our VR program, and so there's not the limits on the dollars there. So if this person is trying to remain independent in her home and has those kinds of needs, she could be served by that program as well. So people that are primary homemakers and are maintaining that independence, we would try to serve in that program. We try to make sure, even if it for people who are under 55 and don't necessarily meet those kinds of goals and don't want to work, we don't want anyone to go unserved. And those basic blindness services are available to everybody. So if there's not, if there's a problem accessing that, then you should see me, see Brian. You know, we would want to know about that. So,
thank you.
And also, by the way, we had as a keynote last year RSA Commissioner LeBrecq our federal, you know, the head of our federal funding agency who came to speak to us. And she emphasized her own philosophy, which is that she felt that state VR agencies, particularly commissions for the blind, should feel free, so to speak, to emphasize and use the homemaker option more frequently, including other, as a means, including other things, as, almost as a pre-employment. Maybe the individual is not ready to get back to work. Maybe some of the services that are delivered actually are, and they will be, in many cases, some of those same services that are delivered to get somebody back to work. And she and our commissioner is seeing that homemaker option, as I understand it, as a possible stepping stone to real meaningful, gainful employment. But if not, too, she feels, you know, for other reasons, it's a very, very useful option. So even though she has not communicated specifically to the VR agencies on her philosophy yet, I would anticipate pretty soon we're going to hear from her and maybe looking to use that homemaker option a little bit more frequently because of RSA expectations, among other things. And maybe it'll just make sense for us, too.
Jacobson. Brian, I know. Is that me? That's not me.
I have the mic.
Sorry, oh, I'm sorry.
Uh-oh, Mr. President.
I was wondering whose turn. Never mind, I'm quiet.
Luis.
There are two advantages of not having an official position. Well, I am trying to speak in the mic, but it somehow... Okay, is that better? All right. So there really are two advantages of not having an official position, and one of them is that I can press down. And the other is that I can speak more candidly about certain issues, and I want to do that now about services, rehabilitation in general, and rehabilitation for the older blind person in particular. And what I am about to say is by no means no reflection on the commission, because I think the commission provides outstanding rehabilitation opportunities for people, especially in the vocational age group, who are able to take full advantage of those opportunities. I said that at the centennial celebration, and I truly meant it, that without the opportunities provided by the commission, I would not be here today capable of speaking as articulately as I can, which, you know, granted isn't always great, but... I think the largest failing, however, in the rehabilitation arena in New York State for sensory service, sensory disabilities in general, and blindness in particular, really is that while we have services in place, we don't, as a state, recognize the fact that blindness, whether it is a condition of birth, congenital condition, or an acquired condition later on, especially as an acquired condition later on, is a change in life that, like losing a limb or losing the ability to walk, really requires immediate and rapid intervention in the same way that when you become physically disabled, you are sent for physical rehab, sometimes in a residential, albeit short-term setting. I think that this is an issue that I know the executive board has tried to grapple with in the past. It isn't just about funding. We need a dramatic increase in funding for core rehabilitation services to serve people who are not in the vocational group. And it really is both a political issue and a strategy issue, which is how do you get the attention of the legislature in a dramatic way to fund those services? And I think that can't be the job of the commission. I think that is the job of organizations like NFB, who have to go out and actually rally political support from the constituency to reach out beyond blind people, beyond to the families, to organize people, to begin to put pressure on the legislature and our elected officials to meet what is really a growing crisis. That's one aspect. I think the other aspect is how do we use the current resources that we have, meager as they are? And the question that I have with regard to that is what work, if any, does the commission envision doing with other agencies like New York's Office for Aging to improve their capacity to recognize loss of vision and to help people who are apart receiving services, say at senior citizen centers, to begin to address those issues?
Yeah, I appreciate your comments and your question, Luis. First of all, I would say there's very, very little that I would not agree with that you said. If you don't mind, I'd like to offer one difference of opinion. Your opening statement that you don't have an official position. I'm not so sure. First of all, I don't know what you mean by official position, but as I see it, you're a very, very successful attorney for the County of Onondaga, right? So that's definitely an official position. Now, if you're talking in the looser sense of the term of official position, if you don't right now, then let me designate one for you.
That's what you get for
Steve. And I'm only... Now, sometimes there's two words attached with what I'm about to say and designate, and hopefully you'll accept this as, but I'm going to only use one word. I'm going to leave one word out of it because I don't think you're there yet. So I'm just going to use the word statesman. So that is an official position for you, for the record that I bestow upon you right now. What's that? And Carl, your comment?
How much does it pay?
Good question.
I got to tell you, Carl, I think I might know the answer to it, which is it pays a lot intrinsically. Yes, right. And Carl just said, say it again.
I'm going to buy a house intrinsically.
Let me know where you get the mortgage.
Yeah. From the bank of intrinsices.
Yes. Now, I will say, and I'll challenge everybody on this, including our executive board and all of our bodies, I think that through some of what we've tried to do together and not necessarily always were able to succeed, so that we've had to sort of take a step back and sort of try to redouble our efforts to see what we can do. And what I really mean by this is that I know the executive board, from my point of view, has had some unfortunate frustrations with the lack of response from other state agencies that you have challenged on some of these issues. Not just issues for seniors, but also, tragically, a lack of response in some cases and wholesale, and largely, I would say, on issues with our youth and our children. Absolutely. What we can do, and I will say right now, I can identify many, many, many partnerships that we have with other state agencies and other entities when it comes to improving and supporting our employment, our VR program. One thing that we need to continue to consider, and we don't always think about that, and, you know, Luis, as somebody who works in government yourself, you've got to recognize those issues of silos. And so many times, we ourselves as the commission either get stuck in their silos through our own doing, or sometimes get stuck in those silos for other people's doings. And I would suggest that any silo you get stuck in, you're there because you put yourself there and you let others put yourself there. And quite honestly, Luis, what you've just provided is just another reminder that when it comes to these types of issues, particularly service to older blind New Yorkers, we have to really look for ways to forge partnerships with state agencies. I will say we will continue to look to our statesmen and our other leaders to help us along the way, because these are things sometimes that, as Carl likes to point out, there are sometimes things that you can do that we can't do. There are sometimes things that we can do that you can't do. And I do think that in some cases, approaching state agencies for cooperative ventures is something that we might be able to do a little bit better even than some of our advocates in that case, only because we're already sort of inside that state government. So, you know, that's another reminder to us. That's another reminder to everybody here, no matter what your leadership or support position is, that we have to keep pushing ourselves to establish those relationships, which we at the commission are not doing as much as we should be doing when it comes to older blind New Yorkers, correct?
Hi, my name is Rachel Bodek. I benefited a lot from the commission. How to do this. I recently started graduate school, hoping to become a teacher of the visually impaired. And I went for a technology assessment in June, and I'm actually still waiting for the technology. I really appreciate everything else, but this is something I'm still waiting, and it's quite frustrating, struggling with reader's aids and other people to help me do my graduate studies. But I wasn't going to push it off until my technology came, because I didn't get a specific date as to when it was going to happen. So that's a big issue. I know I'm not the only one. Once you get assessed, there's so much, I don't know, red tape. I don't know what takes so long, but that's a very big issue, I think, with the technology. And then the other issue is the training and the assessment. I live in Rockland County. There's no one in Rockland County that does this. I had to go all the way to New York City or to Yonkers, White Plains, and it's just quite a challenge. I was wondering is there anything that we can do to bring more services locally to Rockland County? I've spoken to the local association for the visually impaired, and they said, well, we don't know. We were not sure if the commission would fund it. We don't know how to obtain it. So is there any, what can we do on our part? What can we do on our part to, you know, facilitate that, you know, there being more services locally for technology assessment and training, and to facilitate, you know, when I need equipment to get it sooner, you know.
Yeah, I appreciate the comment, Rachel. What's interesting is that you live in a part of the world where one would expect that there would be more services, in some cases than there are, including technology services. Now, we have located, I'll be real honest, this kind of almost changes from time to time. Have an expectation that we have ATC services, adaptive technology services, administered in White Plains. Now, the problem with that is that in some cases, some people transportation can be a problem to these places, but especially because we have our technology center that's in the most southern part of our district in Westchester County. And so those in the farther reaches, like Rockland, but Sullivan and Ulster, won't necessarily have the same access to the services. One of that we would hope for and that we're trying for are itinerant type of services. As tough as Rockland County is to serve, Sullivan County is much, much more difficult to serve. We were trying even to try to entice our Broome County, Binghamton service provider down into that region too. And what we're just discovering, Rachel, is that we do have a lack of those types of services there. And you're specifically talking about tech services, or you're also talking about general rehab services as well?
Rehab is very good. We have the Association for the Visually Impaired. They do O&M and rehab, and they're fantastic. But somehow the technology they've never gotten into, and I guess they're kind of in the, not in the know, and or maybe not so driven to try and do it. Maybe they just don't have a specialist who knows it. But they're just not, they said they're going to work on it. I just spoke to them again about it. But in the meantime, I'm struggling because I have to travel to White Plains. And I, you know, with the commission did pay for a cab for me to go there. But the cab came an hour late. I arrived about 2 hours late because they made another stop. It was just extremely frustrating. Instead of having 3 hours of training, I had about less than an hour of training. And I had to commute for it. I had to wait for it. The commission paid a cab for it. I said, you know, if they pay for the transportation, they may as well pay for the trainer maybe to come to me instead of me going to the trainer.
Okay. Barbara, I'm going to.
Hi, Rachel. I'd certainly like to talk to you, like, individually to get some particulars because there are some options that might be available that we could do depending on what your circumstances are. And we certainly could address, like, the transportation issues in a different way. Might be more helpful. We do try to utilize private vendors that can go to individuals when there's circumstances like that. Sometimes the equipment, the ATC center where you've been evaluated wants to do at least a certain amount of the training just to make sure that the equipment is going to be appropriate before they turn it over to a private vendor. But I certainly would I want to try and address individually what the circumstances are. As far as I know, there are a couple of private vendors. If people know of private vendors, we're always searching for more people to provide services because of those issues in the rural areas and the rural counties. So certainly that's something we're always trying to get more resources so that things like this don't happen. But as you know, as to your individual issues, you know, I'd like to get some more particulars, and then maybe we can work something out. I would be more than happy to try and address that.
Okay, thank you so much.
I'm not sure this is
There was another issue brought up at the executive board meeting, and that's related to the blind patients' bill of rights in hospitals. And since we led the fight for the legislation, apparently some of the hospitals in the western region, some of the hospitals are having difficulty trying to figure out what to do, and so this was brought to the executive board, and I think what was suggested, we made some suggestions, but then the recommendation was that they come back to us. I understand that there are a couple of hospitals downstate, at least Long Island Jewish claims that they've been doing this for a long time, accessibility. My feeling is that one of the things is that this is where we can help, because since we fought for the legislation, I think we can help explain and figure, you know, and help with some of the regulations. So I would suggest, as a member of both, that the executive board consult with the organizations of the blind to see what kind of recommendations can be acquired. But I just want to let people know that hospitals are now, they want to comply, but some of them are not sure what they need to do to comply.
Thanks, David. Can you still hear me?
Yes. Yes.
What's that?
I can fix that. stop a few Mindy Jacobson. Hi, Mindy. How are you? Good. Mindy is, among other many, many, many designations and leadership roles that she played, Mindy is an active part of both our executive board and our state rehabilitation council, among the other things and other wonderful things that she does. So I was acknowledging our leaders earlier, and I certainly wanted, when you came in, also to make sure everybody recognized you and your leadership with us too, Mindy.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yes, I get that one. Yeah, I got my leaders home too right now. Absolutely. Thank you. Yes, David.
Good morning. I'm David Morse. A few comments I'd like to make. This is my first meeting I've ever attended. I'm a parent of a 17-year-old who was born visually impaired and recently was lucky enough to retire and try to get my son more involved in everything. And a few things I've heard today that I'd like to address is, number one, New York State is a large geographically and diverse state, and I think the commission is doing a very good job. In the 15-plus years I have dealt with the commission, they have been excellent, but it is hard. We live in Jefferson County. Our commission is in Syracuse, New York, two counties, 90 miles down Interstate 81. This time of year, often through lake effect snow, which is like driving through the tablecloths here. We deal with the commission. They also deal with Aurora in Syracuse. And I believe you outsource through the Central Association of Blind and Visually Impaired in Utica. Now, that's 99 miles, not through an interstate, also through lake effect snow. So whether I drive them to services or people come to us, it's an hour and a half to 2 hours on a good day. They do a great job, but it is very taxing on the parent, on the student, and on the commission. I will say, as far as associations go, there was a comment brought up, does the commission have the pamphlets and everything? I'm sure they did 15 years ago when we were brought in. It was very difficult at that time. And I will say, recently I asked the question, Beth Walsh, she made an appointment, came up, brought me pamphlets. So they are getting the information out there, and I really appreciate that. We joined the websites, I have to say, are horrible for somebody technologically impaired. I've joined the NFB, have heard nothing. Tried to get information on this conference. Took weeks. Actually, I just got a call on it last week after I had already committed to coming, you know. So that information wasn't forthcoming, which was very difficult. Just throwing that out there. Commission got it to me, but I've heard nothing in return after I've joined. I'm a member at large. I could not find any information on joining New York. I went to all the websites, couldn't find it. I want to mention the Hadley School. This summer, we happened to be staying at a hotel in Massachusetts where there was a conference going on, and that's where I was introduced to the Hadley School. And they have been great, and they're currently working with our local high school, and my son will be able to take his electives online through the Hadley School at his pace, thus freeing up his school time for the core, you know, the math, the science, this, you know, giving him more time for those where he can do his electives at home during the summer. Great resource. I hope it's used more and promoted more for other children. Last thing I'll touch on is, you know, there's a lack of TVIs and other people. My wife and I are currently trying to encourage all the schools and colleges do job fairs. I've yet to see a TVI there. Our local school has two blind students, and most of the people who are looking at careers have no idea that this is a field that should be filled, and it would be good to see, and again, I'm taxing the commission, but if they can afford to send somebody to these job fairs, I think down the road that would be money well spent. And the last thing I'll say is I did find it very interesting. We ate this morning at the Denny's in the hotel. A large print or braille menu was not provided to us. I just found that.
While I have the floor, I didn't get recognized for it. Thank you so much. I do want to tell you that the lunches are upstairs. If you reserved one, you can get one. If you didn't reserve one, please don't go and ask, because you'll have to have your meal ticket in order to get it. The meal tickets are available up there. If you did reserve one and you don't have your meal ticket, Claudia will get your meal ticket for you. And guide dog users will be meeting in room 724. Diabetics will be meeting in room 723 at 2:30. And at 1 o'clock, there will be a discussion in here of NFB philosophy, and you can bring your lunch. So thank you very much. I appreciate your time, and I'm sorry to step on your toes, Brian.
No, that's okay, Mindy. Thank you. I do want to address a couple comments. David? And before I turn it over to Carl as well, a couple of things. You know, as I mentioned before, the resource issues that we're having throughout the state. So I'm sorry, certainly, that you're living in a geographic location where, you know, the best first services you can find maybe are 90 miles away. Now, I will say something interesting, too, that we have... our contracts are something that are called single source contracts, which means that we don't have to bid them out. Like most contracts in New York State of that value have to be bid out. Single source in this case means that everybody that meets certain criteria can join in and be a part of our comprehensive services contract. There are a couple a few more than a couple of agencies out there that would be perfect for us to work with, but for one reason or another has decided not to contract with government. Huh? That's an interesting thing, right? One of them, and I'm not sure exactly what the name of it is, but it's something like the Jefferson County Association for the Blind or something like that. Now, honestly, even though we don't necessarily contract with them, if there are services that you feel that they deliver that we would be able to pay fee for service or something like that, I would definitely encourage you to look into that Jefferson Association. If there's anything that we can do to help you with that, you got to let us know. But just because you've got something in a place in your backyard that's not contracting with us doesn't mean that you and your family might not have access to it again. And we might be able to provide the funding in order to get those services. That's the first thing. Second thing is you absolutely positively are right about what your comments on the TVIs, the teachers of the visually impaired. We have at least two programs right now in the state of New York. Both of them are downstate, one in Rockland County and one in the city, that does train TVIs. You identified, if I understood correctly, and even if you didn't, it's absolutely right that we are not doing what we need to do to encourage people into that field. Now, in our state plan, and as I said at the outset, that this meeting, this town meeting, also is to gather input for our state plan, I can assure you, David, and your entire family and everybody here, that next year in our state plan, you will see once again strategies for us to address this particular situation with the TBIs. One of these days, all together, we'll be successful, I think, in getting there. But that's another thing that's going to take time. And the longer we wait to do it, the longer it'll be until we get that done. And, you know, we're grappling not just with the lack of TBIs, of course, but we're dealing with the lack of mobility instructors in the field and the lack of vision rehabilitation therapists, too. And we got to work together to improve on that. So I appreciate your comments very much, David. I'm going to turn it over to Carl.
And David, let me personally apologize to you for the delays that it took. I will take the blame, the responsibility, the fall for whatever happened that you didn't get back from us. We are largely a volunteer organization, and as a result, don't always get the people to respond in a timely fashion to people like you. Now, that doesn't excuse it. It just explains it. There's no real reason why we shouldn't get back to you quicker, and we're going to see what we can do about getting back to people like you and others who will come in a more timely fashion, because your problems are real, and as days go by, they don't get any better. So we need to see how what we can do to help people like you get timely responses from us. Is Lucy, are you in the room? Would somebody from Syracuse get get David's information, pass it on to Lucy? Yeah. You got it? Would you get it for him, Mike? Okay. Like I was saying, David, we are largely a volunteer organization, and I am truly sorry that it has taken so long for us to get back to you. We will try to prove ourselves a little more worthy of your trust, of your praise next year instead of what we got this year, and which is well deserved, I'm sure. I know it was well deserved because there are always people we miss. So I'm sorry for that, and please, on behalf of the Federation, accept my apology.
So I think this wraps up another. Nuria?
Sorry, thank you. I just want to say, I just want to give you a good news that my counselor, Don Horn, he's the best counselor. I don't have any complaint about him. He's wonderful. He reached me very well. He always gave on the phone. He tried to, his best to provide services for me. But my complaint was about the placement services for a job employment. So I just want to make it clear that Don is a good counselor.
Thank you, Nuri. I appreciate that. And I while we're not perfect, in this case, I did understand the point you were making about our private sector partners, and I really do appreciate that as well. So I think this wraps it up. I do want to say that we are pleased to be platinum sponsors of this great convention. We look forward to continuing building upon this successful town meeting. And with that, I would really like to turn it over, even though he said it's ours, I would like to turn it over to Carl Jacobson, your president, for the final words.
And again, now Brian reminded me, we want to thank you, Brian, for your platinum sponsorship and your ongoing support and the ongoing partnership and teamwork that we have together as groups that we used to be adversarial. I think we can get more done working together than adversarial. And David, one more time, I'm sorry. We will do better by you next time. And folks, there's a whole bunch of box lunches. Mindy made the announcement. There's a bunch of other stuff that I missed. I don't want to start quoting things. There is an agenda out there. Claudia has it. I'm expecting to have a real whiz-bang convention. Like Brian said earlier, we took a few lighter things this year, and I hope it'll be as much fun for you as it was for me trying to think things up. I got some input from several of you putting this together, so it's not just my thoughts on that paper. It's your thoughts on that paper. So enjoy the rest of the day. come this evening for the hospitality sponsored by the Buffalo chapter, and come tomorrow sponsored by you. So thank you very much, everybody. Have a good day. See you around this place soon.
Mike,
take care.
Just a reminder to everybody also, if you're going to eat in the Denny's restaurant, there are coupons available. If you use a coupon when you pay your bill, 10% of your bill will go directly back to the Bell program. Also, for those listening online, we will be streaming again starting in an hour with the so tune back in and join us.